The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Folks, there's a major brawl taking place in Fulton County, Georgia. You know the place they hauled Trump into? Said he was running a conspiracy to fabricate a stolen election, try to appoint false electors, RICO style. Yeah, they'd planned to try him, have him in court on election day, and then they'd planned to put him in prison for decades. In fact, they'd already gotten some convictions in his circle, all of it based on the idea that there was no election fraud whatsoever in Fulton County. Yeah. Then a couple weeks ago came the FBI raid of Fulton County. Yeah, you might have noticed that. You know, the place where Trump literally had Fani Willis not been busted committing fraud, she was the prosecutor, defrauding the county, Trump probably would be running the country from a Fulton County jail right now, or Georgia State Prison. All of it premised on the idea that absolutely no fraud took place there, and Trump made a phone call to try to overthrow the election. Of course, attack the Democrats' democracy, whatever the hell that is. I want you to keep that in mind as I tell you this story. They went so far to cover this up, what I'm about to tell you, that they dragged the man in, gave him a mugshot, and made every plan to try him with the trial scheduled for the week of the election. Again, had Fani Willis not been caught defrauding the county herself, that trial would have gone forward. Folks, a Democrat judge approved the warrant for the FBI raid in Fulton County. Do I have your full attention now? Yeah, because what's going on there could potentially be huge. To understand it, you've got to go back to the beginning of the story, the morning after the 2020 election, when crooked Secretary of State, says he's a Republican, but I've never believed it, Brad Raffensperger went on national television and said, 4.7 million votes have been cast in Georgia. Only 2% remain to be counted, about 94,000 ballots. He said the margin was decisive. Even if one candidate won 100% of the vote, it wouldn't change the outcome.
We don't guess. What we do is report. We just see where the candidates are right now in both presidential, congressional, senatorial. And you look at how many votes are out there. Even if one of the candidates got 100%, it probably wouldn't be enough to move it one way or the other.
But he didn't count on an extra 300,000 votes coming in out of nowhere. Glenn Beck does a great summary of what happened next.
The morning after the election, that's just to remind you, Georgia's Secretary of State went on national television and said 4.7 million votes had been cast. He said only about 2% remain to be counted, which is roughly 94,000 ballots. And he said, at this moment, the margin is decisive. Even suggested if one candidate won 100% of all of the outstanding votes, it's not going to change the outcome. But when the final tally first came in, the total wasn't 4.7 million votes that had been cast. It was 5.023 million. Okay, wait, what? And in Fulton County alone, the absentee ballots reportedly rose from 74,000 to more than 148,000 between election night and final certification. Where did that come from? And that's why this shift happened, it reversed the apparent outcome of the state, and that's why Donald Trump was like, wait a minute, cheating is going on. The report now states no known explanation has been provided to justify the surge. Pause. If the numbers change by that magnitude, after officials publicly declare with near final certainty, then again, we've got to get it right. Not almost right. We need it right.
Problem was, creepy Brad Raffensperger and crooked Kemp, the governor of Georgia all went on TV and said, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's good. Hey, let's go ahead and certify it. It got so hot for Kemp. I don't know if you remember this. There were actually articles out there about how he was no longer appearing in public because it was so tense. Everybody'd seen it. Everybody knew it stank. But until now, we've never had proof that something was bad wrong. Why? Because we couldn't get our hands on the tabulator tapes. We couldn't get our hands on the ballots. The Democrats fought that. By the way, they're supposed to be public information for a full damn 5 years and weeks after the statute of limitation expired. Whoops. Finally, a private citizen who spent $15,000 of his own money, raised a lot of it on GoFundMe, was able to get them. And whoa, Nelly, it changed everything. Investigators found, among other things, because now all of a sudden the governor's covering his ass and investigating this, even though he personally called off the investigation right after the 2020 election. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation had started one. He made a phone call to shut it down. We'll get to that in a minute. Investigators found 148,000 absentee ballots were accepted and counted without performing mandatory signature verification. Tens of thousands arrived at State Farm Arena in unsecured mail carts. That's illegal. It breaks chain of custody. Then there's the missing tabulator tapes. Those are a check to prove the machine starts at zero. You could add 10,000 votes for Joe Biden on. If you don't start at zero and they're supposed to sign and take a picture of it that it was at zero, there's no proof of where it started or however hell the many votes there actually were. That'll cause a problem in just a minute. I'll explain it to you. No check to prove the machine started at zero. And you've got to document, by the way, the total at day's end too, then prove it went to zero. More than 100 tabulator tapes representing 315,000 early votes weren't signed, were missing, or both. That doesn't prove they stole the election, though. It doesn't prove anything other than that they were so grotesquely sloppy in Fulton County that it broke the law. The report did conclude, though, that lawbreaking happened at an epic level. The report concludes the statutes required accounting and chain of custody records that don't exist for the entirety of early voting. But see, then there's the math problems. Those we couldn't detect before. We won the court case and got our hands on the actual records, the ballots, the tabulator tapes, the photographs of each ballot. And a math problem emerged. County records show 148,318 ballots were cast. Yet you had only 125,000 voters show up to vote. More than 22,000 ballots that are in question may have been double scanned. I think that's what they did in a race decided by just 11,779 votes. Now we're talking. That's the kind of thing that earned you an FBI raid. So by now, you're probably pretty curious what motivated the Trump administration after a year to go in and raid the place. Henry McDougal is a partner at Caldwell, Carlson, and Elliott. He's litigated this entire thing on behalf of an attorney who first asked questions about this and had the Democrats attempt to strip him of his law license. So he's been on this thing from the beginning and ended up knee deep in it. There's no better expert in Georgia on what's going on in Fulton County. I'll let him explain. It's jaw-dropping.
In the hand count, it was demonstrated that within Fulton County, just within the subset of absentee ballots, that the numbers submitted as the result of the hand count were inflated by more than 6,000 votes. In other words, there were not enough ballots to match the number of votes. And they, instead of saying, hey, we've got a problem, we have more votes than ballots, they faked up the number of ballots to make it match the original count. Okay? That happened. That's been proven. It's been confirmed by an independent investigation in the governor's office and essentially admitted by Fulton County. So when they say it's debunked, that is proven.
Henry McDougal continues on the War Room. I apologize for the music in the background. They were at the end of a segment.
The original complaint was brought by a great American named Joe Rossi, who took the time to inspect every single batch of absentee ballots in the hand count and compare them to the tally sheets that purported to say what was in those batches. And he discovered discrepancies totaling over 6,000 votes. Now, so what happened? They came up short when they did the hand count. And so they padded the numbers to make it look like they did not come up short.
John Solomon, former investigative reporter for The Hill, now he writes at Just the News, his own site, described it more in depth. And folks, what he's describing here is what's in the warrant that the Democrat-appointed judge ultimately gave the green light to raid the place.
The FBI declares in an affidavit, they have confirmed in Fulton County or the state of Georgia have confirmed that in some cases during the recounts, ballots were double counted, double scanned and double counted, that numbers didn't match up and then they suddenly just magically matched up with no additional work, and that some ballot images have been lost, and that about 315,000 ballots which were certified were not properly certified through Georgia law. Now, why is that important? It's much like the way the FBI and the IRS ultimately got Al Capone. They didn't get him by charging him as being a mobster. They got him by not following other things like tax law. Here, it is a federal felony to fake or fraudulently put out vote counts that don't match or are inaccurate or that don't follow your state's law. You're trusted as an election official in Fulton County. You have to follow the law. It looks like the FBI has some pretty substantial proof that the law wasn't followed. What the FBI agent says in his bombshell affidavit is, if we find any intentionality to this, they could be federally charged with felonies 5 years later. That is a big deal. It explains why they raided that warehouse. And I'd keep an eye on Arizona. I think a similar issue is brewing there now.
I knew what I told you there was so explosive, you'd need a second source.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Here's more of Henry McDougal explaining the rest of the problem in Fulton.
So when we get to the second machine count, they came up short again. In the second machine count, they have a shortage of ballot images. So they have a number of votes and they have a number of ballot images, and they are not the same. The difference is 17,852 more votes than ballot images.
Well, at this point, the Kemp and Raffensperger, we don't know nothing. Circus came to a screaming halt. They could no longer deny the evidence. In fact, it looked a lot like they were involved in a cover-up. So, to cover their asses, they actually, finally, went in and investigated. This is more from the War Room podcast.
The governor's office itself, correct me if I'm wrong, sent a letter to Raffensperger and saying, yo, there's looked like they admit it's a 6,000 ballot differential. You guys, I'm tossing it back to you to investigate and sort this thing out, correct?
That is exactly correct. The original complaint was brought by a great American named Joe Rossi.
Now, look, why Kemp and Raffensperger did this? Trump really razzed Kemp early on. I mean, roasted him hard when he was Fauci's best friend. I mean, when Trump was Fauci's best friend and Kemp refused to shut his state down. They've hated each other ever since. I don't know. Maybe it's pure spite. Or maybe Kemp is knee-deep in Democrat voter fraud. Kind of a weird place for a Republican to operate from. But hey, we'll take it. Whatever the case, I want you to understand why all these years Democrats have said nothing there, nothing there, nothing there, nothing there. It's because Kemp himself shut down an investigation when there was something there.
But getting back to the role of the governor, you know, now it can be told. The then director of the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, GBI, called David Perdue on the phone and told him that the governor had told him to shut down his investigation of the ballot mules question that was raised by the movie 2000 Mules. They had previously delivered the data that they had collected, videos and an informant to the GBI Vic Reynolds had said he would investigate that. 6-7 months later, he calls up David Perdue and says, well, the governor asked me to close this down. I'm a team player, and so I just wanted to let you know. Well, that's a big deal, okay?
That's just something you heard. That's actually in a deposition or in testimony. Where do you pull that nugget?
Now, that is special purpose grand jury testimony from former Senator David Perdue, current U.S. ambassador to China.
Pretty damning testimony, is it not?
Yes. And that certainly would have come out if State v. Trump had been tried.
Why was it not tried?
Because it was dismissed following the disqualification of Fannie Willis and her office.
Right. So what they're saying there is, had Trump's criminal trial in Fulton County for daring to question these election thieves gone forward, that would have gone public. Okay, but you're probably still wondering, and the liberal media has confused a lot of people with this. Didn't a bunch of judges see these Trump suits, not just in Georgia, but across the nation, find there was nothing there and dismiss them all? No, not a single one of them was ever hurt. The evidence of election fraud, which was fairly well documented by Trump even early on, it was never even considered by a judge, jury, or anybody else. Why? Because every one of these cases was dismissed for standing, because the electors had already been appointed and had already voted to certify the election in Congress. So the liberal media then went forward, it's all been debunked, the judges looked at these cases, they dismissed them. No, they never heard them. And in the case of Fulton County, again, we've been unable to see all the evidence until just a few months ago. Panic, by the way, has ensued from the Democrats. You wouldn't know this watching our media networks, but you'd know it watching theirs. Hysterical coverage, Trump's a tyrant, he won't give this up, he's delusional. But it shows you how seriously they take it that they've sent their A-team, Mark Elias and his evil sidekicks, in to sue. Specifically, their legal ask was that the DOJ and the FBI not even be allowed to look at the votes, the vote records, the ballot records, the tabulators. They also want it all destroyed. Oh, and weirdly, they're also seeking to keep the Trump team from removing any of the voters from the rolls, much less looking at and considering whether the voters on the rolls are real. That's a very strange thing to sue over. Folks, the hearing is this Friday. It's the kind of thing I actually pray about. Pray that some judge doesn't order all of this destroyed before we can dig to the bottom of it. Also pray that there's enough evidence there to get these people. Because remember what just happened. Once news got through the FBI, it was supposed to be secret, that they were going to do the raid. The FBI lead agent, called Special Agent in Charge of the Atlanta office, the top guy, warned Fulton County that they were coming. 40 of the boxes specifically mentioned as evidence in the warrant disappeared. We've still not been able to find them. By the way, that guy, he got fired. You think that'd be kind of a big story, right? Barely covered. Folks, all of this tells you this is a big freaking deal. One more thing, folks. Back to why the Democrats included in their hysterical, hey, give us the evidence, don't look at it, oh, and let us destroy it lawsuit that'll be heard on Friday. Why they might have included the bizarre provision that they couldn't, the Trump team, not be allowed to investigate the reality of voters on the rolls or do anything about them. If you go back to Trump's original lawsuit, the one that was never heard, what he did was he hired an independent firm to compare, you may remember this from my earlier Battleground podcast, to compare the voter rolls in Georgia, the public-facing part of it, not the back room, and run them against the Social Security database and other federal databases. Just that turned up. Are you ready for this? 10,000 dead voters who voted, 15,700 ghost voters who voted. These are non-existent voters, like people registered to vote, say, at a field, 120 people registered to vote at a house. They vote. They're not real. 40,000 people who voted in the wrong county. That's significant because they may have voted twice, and 65,000 under 18s who voted, as well as 305,700 absentee ballot requested ballots requested outside the 180-day statutory window. They should have never been granted, but they were. You can see why the Democrats sent the A-team. This is a mess. And Solomon says Arizona is worse. Folks, given those numbers that I just laid out for you, I just want to wrap this up by explaining the absolute brawl going on right now. If we win this, it could change everything. I know I end every podcast with that, but really we're on the cusp of the razor's edge again. Because if you look at the SAVE Act, all of this is tied together. You know the one everyone's talking about, screaming and yelling, oh, well, you got to prove your citizenship to vote and bring an ID. Yeah, whatever. I've never voted in an election where I didn't need an ID, but then I live in red states. So, but here's why this is so important. There's a provision of that that's actually way more important than having to be a citizen to vote and to register. And that's a provision that forces every state in the nation to turn over its voter rolls, its internal voter rolls. That's all the background information, as well as the forward-facing stuff that you could download off the site for like $50, so that we can run them against the national databases. Currently, Trump is suing 24 states for those voter rolls, all of them Democrat states that refuse to turn them over. He's lost 3 federal court cases on it so far. One recently, last week, from a Trump judge who said, yeah, you know, I'd love to give this to you, but there's no law mandating we turn it over. We need to get those Democrat voter rolls. Because folks, 10,000 dead voters, 15,700 ghost voters, those are the ones who voted in the 2020 election. 66,000 under 18. Folks, let me tell you what happened there. We're not a bunch of under 18s voting. It's Democrats voting for them. If we could get our hands on this, we can finally expose the level of the fakeness of these elections. Folks, it would be psychologically shattering. I truly believe that, folks. And the Democrat Party only needs one major blow like that. This is why the Uniparty, John Thune, and the Democrats are fighting so hard against the SAVE Act. This is why Mitch McConnell and John Thune have blocked it for 300 days. Because even the Republican Uniparty leadership knows Democrats can't win without cheating. And they need them for open borders once Trump's gone.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.